Good morning. Welcome to University United Methodist Church. We're so glad to have everyone here with us this morning. And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers and grandmothers out there. Thanks, Mamie. So it's a great Sunday this morning, and I looked at the weather earlier this morning, and it looks like it's going to heat up this afternoon, later this week, so we can look forward to some even nicer weather. So I hope everybody enjoys that. All right, Angela. So we used to have black folders at the ends of the pew. We don't have those anymore, but you'll find all of the announcements and the prayer request slips included in your bulletin this morning. So everything you need to know, you've already got if you stopped by one of the ushers and got yourself a bulletin. So the prayer request slips, we ask that everyone fill one of those out just so that we know that you're here. And then if you'd like us to announce a prayer for you or a loved one during the prayer time, we'll have the ushers collect those later on in the service, and we'll read those aloud. If you'd just like to submit a prayer that you would not like included in the service, you can do that at the time of the offering, and we'll collect the attendance slips then. A couple of things that I want to bring your attention to. There are plenty of announcements in the bulletin, but a couple that I'd like to bring your attention to. We're going to have a new church directory. And so Ben Mead, one of the people that attends all the time, he's going to be taking new pictures for everybody, and that'll happen over the next 3 weeks. So please take a minute after the church and stop in and see him so we can get new pictures and we'll all know each other even better. We're going to have a spring cleaning of the church Thursday, May 17th and 18th, and everyone's invited to help us. It's going to be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and you can come when you can and help us eliminate waste and excess. And you can see that those announcements right in the bulletin. And then one other announcement I'd like to bring your attention to that's not in the bulletin, the Gay and Lesbian Chorus of Syracuse is giving a concert at Pebble Hill Presbyterian Church, and that's on Jamesville Road and Duet, on Friday, May 19th at 8 o'clock p.m., or Saturday, May 20th at 4 o'clock p.m., So if anyone's interested, we hope to see you there. Leading us this morning in worship, it's myself. I just did the announcements. I'm Katie. And then Dale will be doing, he's the liturgist. And since Alicia's on vacation this morning, you can look forward to hearing Dean Moyer. He'll be preaching. And let us continue our time of worship.
First, I do have one question. Am I supposed to stand inside of this or alongside of it? Now, I've been asking various people, and the votes are in favor of me standing inside of it, which suggests that maybe I better not stand inside of it. Now, if our Alicia Wood were here, she would be saying now that my name is Alicia Wood, and I'm so honored to be pastor of the University United Methodist Church. What I'm saying is I'm Dean Moyer, and I'm so honored to have Alicia Wood as my pastor. And I am so honored that she has asked me to preach this morning because, to the best of my knowledge, this is a passage I've never used before. But the piece that I like best in it is that if I'm Zechariah, I'm going to be rendered speechless, and you'll need to wait 9 months and 8 days before my voice comes back. But maybe in a more serious vein, the butterfly has long been a symbol of the resurrection of Jesus, as well as the resurrection of believers as we emerge from the power of death. In this Easter season, we will examine our own transformations from cocoons and tombs to the unfurled beauty of all God calls us to be. Today is Mother's Day, a time when we think of literally emerging from the womb, from that safe place where we began the process of our becoming. We also think with love of those who have provided emotionally and psychological safe places for us throughout our lives as we have continued on that journey. Out of the cocoon, the new butterfly has much to do to prepare for flight. Wings are not yet ready. Small and undernourished, they long for expansion, to move beyond this awkward in-betweenness. When the angel informs Zechariah that the unexpected child they were gifted in old age would be named John, he was literally speechless. No, I'm not speechless. This was not a traditional name, not one that would be a namesake. This was a new thing. Are we willing to let God's possibilities nurture and fill us in ways that we never imagined? And that very short sentence a moment ago was the source of my sermon title, This Was a New Thing.
This is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on, time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone.
Good morning. My name is Dale Fryer, and I'm going to be the liturgist this morning. And I also sing in the choir, so there will be times when you might hear my voice but not see my face. So I'd like you to... It's a miracle. Yes, it is. It is. So let's join together in the call to worship this morning. You may stand or sit as you are comfortable. Hear us, we pray, God of our longing. We have searched for you. We have called to you. Come quickly. Keep our blinded eyes turned toward you. Oh, thank you. On that day, we will know again what we have known so often and yet so rarely. Amen. Please join together in This Is the Day. It's in the hymnal on 657 or on the screen above. Yes, and This Is the Day is done in two parts. We echo each other. So the left side, along with the choir, is going to be singing first. Okay, that's the right side. So the left side with the choir is going to be singing first, and the right side is going to be singing second, the echo. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day
that the Lord has
made.
Let us rejoice
and be glad in it. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day Lord hath made.
We have a tradition at the University Church of saying good morning, shaking hands, and passing the peace of Christ. So I invite you now to take a few moments to turn to your neighbor and wish them the peace of Christ this morning.
For by the life and death of Jesus, love's mighty Spirit now as then can make for us a world of difference as faith and hope are born.
again.
If there are any more children to come up, please come up. I was too busy shaking hands to invite you before the song. All righty. Good morning. The scripture today tells of an angel telling Zechariah that he and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a baby. They had prayed for a baby, but they thought they were too old to have a baby. That baby grew up to be John the Baptist. So that happened a long time ago, right? Well, I'm here to tell you that God is still working in our lives today. Let me tell you my story. Ted and I had been married for 8 years, and we did not have a baby. We, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, prayed and prayed. We actually wrote that prayer in a little piece of paper and put it in what they call the Wailing Wall, which is the remnants of the temple in Jerusalem in 1987. That was a while ago. And we were just as surprised as Zechariah and Elizabeth because we soon found out we were going to have a baby. And that baby grew up to be our big son, Brian. So today on Mother's Day, we celebrate when children come into our lives. Sometimes we have babies like Elizabeth and me. Sometimes we foster children, we adopt children, we raise grandchildren, we help families care for their children. You know, mothering means to care for children with love. So lots of people fill that role, right? Some of you remember when Mr. Steve Bacon told us in Sunday school that some of his school kids call him Mom. Do you ever do that? I know some other kids that do that too. I know children who call me their second mom because I help them with their school projects and go to their concerts. One little friend actually calls me her grandmother. So just for fun, I wanted to show you some mothering done by other mothers in the animal kingdom. So look at that screen back there. There you have a dog mothering a goat. And a panda on an elephant. It's easier to cross a river that way. And there's a dog with some kind of cheetahs. Is that what they are? I'm glad some, because I'm like, well, they're cute. So I have a card for you to give to your mother or any of your other mothers. Feel free to add your own greeting. I want you to take some crayons back to your seat, and you can add your name and some pictures. There you go. So let's have a prayer, and then you can pick up some crayons and take them back to your seat and finish the cards, okay? God, thank you for your good creation, for children and all of the different kinds of mothers that care for them, provide for them, and worry about their well-being. We know your love through the love of your people, especially mothers. Let us remember to thank you and thank them. Amen.
We here at United Methodist Church take time to pray and to pray for others. And we have slips that you received with your bulletin. If you would like your prayer shared, the ushers will come and collect those slips, and we will read those as we begin our time of prayer this morning. And as they collect the slips, please join together with me in a couple more verses of This Is a Day of New Beginnings. Then let us with the spirit daring step from the past and leave behind our disappointment, guilt, and grieving, seeking new paths and sure to find. Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new. As we continue in prayer, I'd ask you to join me in silent prayer. Jesus said many times,
Do not be afraid. Creator God, sustainer and renewer of my life, am I not often afraid? Are there not times when thoughts of the next day at work leaves me sleepless, restless, and fearful for that work that awaits me? Does my blood pressure not rise when I enter the doctor's office for my annual physical? Fearful of what I may learn about my health? I have fears as a part of a community, a church, fears about family, friends, neighbors. I am afraid more often than I realize, and I guess I realize, Creator, that fear is just a part of being human, a part of my life. So I think about those words Dean shared this morning when the angel came and gave the name John to Zechariah's newborn child. It was something new. It was unusual. And did it perhaps instill a little fear in Zechariah? Creator God, you provide us with so many new things that take us out of our comfort zones, stir in us a little bit of fear. And those new things are a part of my everyday life that you provide, and they do make me pause. Yet Jesus said over and over and over again, do not be afraid. These new things that are being revealed are blessings, blessings from Creator God, opportunities for spiritual growth, gifts of love and encouragement from a loving and nurturing Mother, Father God, preparing me to come out of my cocoon, out of my safe place, so that I may live a full and healthy life. May we now pray the prayer that Jesus prayed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's scripture is from the first chapter of Luke, verses 5 through 14 and 18 through 20. And I am reading from the New International Version of the Bible. In the time of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. One, this is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God." And all said, "Amen." Please stand, if you are able, and join together in singing "Peace for the Children" that is displayed on the screen.
You may be seated. A few moments ago, we heard the choir sing a song, and it referred a number of times to she. Who can tell me who the she is that was referred to in that anthem? Nope. Nope. Who? Wait. Who did I? Somebody up the balcony? I thought it was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Was I wrong? Who would dare say I was wrong? Now, while Zechariah is still speechless, and before his speech comes back at the birth of John, Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, and they both have good news to share with the other, for they are both to have a child. The child that Zechariah and Elizabeth will have will be John the Baptist. He will, among other things, be the one to prepare the way for the coming of Mary's son, Jesus, who will be recognized as the Messiah. And as I think of that anthem, it seems to be the words that are printed, or that in the Gospel of Luke, before John gets back his voice, when Mary is praising God for that which is to happen to her. And it says she comes sailing on the wind and goes on to speak of her acceptance of and her willingness to become the mother of Christ. Now, and then when the baby is born, John gets back his voice. Now, I sent this outline, it's not the full text, to Ted, and I said, you'll stick in some pictures where you think they might fit. I will probably be as surprised as you are by some of the pictures that you see. But if you look at the picture now, you will see over on the one side someone writing on a tablet. Now, Elizabeth and Zechariah have taken their son to the temple so that they might do what is according to the custom of the Jews. And one of those customs was to give a name to the child. And the thought at first would be, well, it will be Zechariah, named after his father. But Elizabeth speaks up, he shall be called John. Well, they aren't quite satisfied with that. They want to hear a word from Zechariah. So Zechariah says, give me a writing tablet. And he writes on it, his name shall be John. And when he does that, his voice comes back. And he is no longer speechless. Now, as we think of this amazing, unbelievable thing that happened in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth, I'd like us to be thinking of the amazing and wonderful, almost unbelievable things that can happen in our lives. And I would like to begin by sharing something about the life, my life, and the life of my family. Now, about 10 days or 2 weeks ago, my oldest stepson, Ralph, came down from Boston to visit for a while. And we had a chance to reflect on the years that we have known each other, starting way back when he was 8 years of age and I first met my wife, Carol, and Beth, and Eric, and Ralph. And he reflects on that, and he speaks of how unusual it was for us to become a family. Here was a pastor going through a divorce, and then as time went by, his mother was also going to become a pastor, and he had to bear the burden of having a stepfather and a mother who were both clergy. You can guess what that might be like when you tell the kids at school and their thoughts about you, but we continue reflecting, and as Ralph is reflecting on all of this, he says, we were a family before our time. Now, if I had been thinking of this scripture then, I would have said to Ralph, no, we have experienced an unbelievable new thing. Now, I've come to know some of you rather well, and one of those I've come to know is here with us today, and I believe that she has experienced something like an unbelievable new thing in her life. Now, I spoke to her, and she gave me permission to mention her, but I'm not going to give you her name, but she's been teaching at SU, and she's been sort of struggling and wondering what to do with the rest of her life, of what God might have for her. And the unbelievable new thing has come to her. And in not too long, she'll be moving back to Tennessee, going back to the institution from which she got her PhD in education, and at Vanderbilt, getting advanced degrees in theology and law. She's here, and some of you will know who she is. And now, if I were able to really depart from what I am expected to do, I might say, are there any of you who have some unbelievable new thing you'd like to share? But that would probably be going too far. So let me give you some examples of what I think of as unbelievable new things that can happen to us. Any of you ever had a job that you really didn't quite like? Well, it was a good job and the pay was okay and you related to the workers, but it didn't seem to be what you really wanted. It didn't seem to bring to you the satisfaction that you wished. Now, maybe downsizing helped you to make the decision and you lost the job, or maybe you decided to quit. And then you wondered for a while, what next? What next? What's going to come into my life? And the new job comes along. Well, it may not pay quite as much as the last one, but it may be a job that uses more of who and what you are. And I could tell the story of my oldest son who found that in his own experience. And then I think of a couple, a husband and wife, and somehow their marriage is getting into a rocky state. It's no longer the marriage that brings to them the joy and satisfaction that they might once have had. And they wonder what to do next. Now, maybe with help, they're able to renew and start over again. Or maybe they find that they need to end that marriage and each one moving on. But they find that even through that, God can do the unbelievable new thing. And they can find a new relationship, a new spouse, and enter into a new marriage. And perhaps both of them are able to do that. And again, as I say, it becomes an unbelievable new thing. A third example, I'm thinking of a young person who's moved into adolescence. And they begin to realize that they are not quite like the other kids. They realize that they are attracted to the same sex, rather than, like everybody else, someone of a different sex. And they sense that that really isn't right, and they wonder, and others say, well, this is forbidden, and they struggle with it. And they wonder, how could God have done this? What is really happening? And as they struggle with it, and as they work through that, and perhaps receive the help that they need, they are able to come to terms with who they are and to actually rejoice in the difference that is a part of their life. Now, I'd like us to move from our individual situations, our families, our couples, and think of what's taking place in our denomination today. It wasn't too long ago on a Friday that the Judicial Council, our main legal body in the Methodist Church, released its findings. And in my thinking, but not maybe yours, I thought of that Friday as another Good Friday, when in a sense we were crucifying Christ anew. And we watched and wept a bit as we saw the gay United Methodist clergy celebrating, even in spite of what had happened to them. And I won't deviate too much, but I knew I had to find the joy of Easter again, and it happened up at Hendricks Chapel. But that's another story that I won't go into now. But here's our denomination. What's going to happen? How are we going to resolve this when each side is so adamant and so strong? One saying the discipline is right in prohibiting sexual behavior in ordained clergy, and those who are saying, why should God not be able to call them and to become full clergy in our denomination? And we've set up a Way Forward committee to help us work through this, but we wonder how we will do it. And I wonder how we might, on both sides, be open to what God might have for us as an unbelievable new thing. I hope that each one of you, as individuals, as families, and us as a church, and as a denomination, will continually experience new things as we break out of our cocoons, that which binds us, that which keeps us from being all we could be, but yet is a part of our becoming the butterfly that will eventually emerge and begin to move and strengthen its wings and to fly away and maybe, like Mary, go sailing on the wind and perhaps discover that every day can be a day of new beginnings. Amen. I forgot to watch all those pictures Ted had for me. I hope they were helpful.
As we enter a time of giving this morning, I'd like to remind everyone to please, please place your attendance slips into the plate as our ushers come down the aisle. And just a reminder, if you'd like to leave a prayer as well in that plate that we didn't share this morning, please be welcome. And for our first-time visitors of the church, I'd like you to know that we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. We are grateful you are here, yet we do have a strong tradition of giving here at University Church, so as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and our offerings. Please join me in the prayer, in the unison prayer of dedication displayed on the screen. The Creator of all life has endowed our earth with bountiful blessings. We return to God portions of what God has given us, our time, the fruits of our labors, and our commitment. God calls us to participate in the construction of a new reality. We now dedicate these offerings towards the fulfillment of our life as a covenant community and toward the ministry that God has given us. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Please remain standing and join me in singing When Love Is Found on the screen or 643 in the hymnal.
When love is found, hope comes home. Sing and be glad that two are one. When love explodes and fills the sky, praise God and share our Maker's joy. When love has flowered in trust and care, build both each day that love may dare to reach beyond arms, warmth, and light, to serve and strive for truth and life. When love is tried, as loved ones change to hope, through all seems strange, till ease returns and love grows wise through listening ears and open eyes. When love is torn and trust betrayed, pray strength to love till torment fade, till lovers keep no score of wrong, but hear through pain love's Easter song.
When we leave here this morning, you're invited to come together in the gathering room back here, have some coffee. I don't know if there'll be anything else there or not, but share in conversation with others, perhaps even thinking of the music and the hymns and the scripture, and maybe even the sermon you heard this morning. And those who might want to look into it a little more deeply can join us for soup and sermon as we first share a little bit about what our week has been like, either joys or struggles, and then think of how we're going to respond to the music and the prayers and the scripture and the sermon which we've heard. You're invited to join us if you would like, even if it might be your first time to do so. And now, form us, hold us, open us, unfold us, unfurl us, untether us, increase us. Go now in peace to love and serve our God. Amen.